you. Our scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23, a letter from Paul to the people of Corinth. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Do all this for the sake of the gospels, that I may share in his blessings. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
I invite you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You are 37 years old. And for the last 15 years, the first of every month, you have been sending $462.80 to a financial institution. When you made that first payment, you thought that was a tremendous amount of money 15 years ago. And it's still nothing to sneeze at, but your income has expanded and you have a little more comfort level. When you made that first payment, you thought to yourself, what's it going to be like? What am I going to be like when I'm 37 and I finally pay off this school loan? And sometimes you've thought to yourself, will I be alive long enough to pay off this school loan? You made that first payment and you looked at it on the bank ledger and you said, 179 more to go. But here you are. You're sitting in front of your computer. You're looking at it this morning and it tells you that this coming Friday, you will make your final payment of $462.80. And you will have completely paid off your school loan. Beginning next month, you have a raise of $462.80. What are you feeling? You're 10 years old. You're in fourth grade. And for the last 9 months, 180 days, you've been making this pilgrimage, Monday through Friday, where you have to get up most of the time before the sun rises. You go downstairs, you eat breakfast, you get your backpack, you walk out the front door, you get your way down to the corner, you wait for that dull yellow school bus to come and the door pivots open, you go in, and when you get to school, it disgorges you there in front of the school, and you walk to your homeroom, and you put your backpack down, and you sit in a hard chair for 7 hours. Ironic, isn't it, that at the time in your life when you're least suited to sit on a hard chair for 7 hours, that's what you're required to do, and your whole body is rebelling. Your legs are saying to you, get up, let's go, run. 180 days, 9 months this is going on. But today, you are sitting in class and you're watching that clock because at 12 noon, that bell will ring, signaling, not like any other bell during the year, this bell will signal the end of the school year. And you know exactly what you're going to do when that bell rings. You're going to jump up from your seat, grab your backpack, run down the hall, throw your arms up when you come out of the door into the brilliant sunshine and say, what was that, Heidi? Woohoo! That's what you're going to say. Because you know tomorrow morning, when no alarm clock goes off, but you wake up somewhere south of noon, you know the first thing you're going to think of is, I can decide what I want to do all day. And I can do that for the next 2+ months. people wonder what heaven's going to be like. Ask a fourth grader on the last day of school, what are you feeling? You're feeling free. You are feeling free. And I think when you say that word free, you ought to feel it in the marrow of your bones. What does it mean to be free? I'm unrestrained. There is nothing that will weigh me down. I have the sheer delight of knowing I can say, I'm the captain of my life and I decide what I'm going to do. Free. Can you feel it? Remember that feeling as we come to the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Ed read it for us here just a moment ago. Paul's talking about freedom. Now, I want to lead us back to the very first verse in 1 Corinthians 9 because it's a bridge verse. It bridges chapter 8 and chapter 9. And I want us to look at what Paul says there, specifically the first few words. He says, am I not free? You go back and look, 1 Corinthians 9, 1. Am I not free? And if you look in other translations, I love the way that some people choose to translate from the Greek to the English. It's a little bit different in every translation. Some say, am I not unrestrained? And the one I really appreciate is Paul saying, is there any doubt that I'm a free man? But my favorite is the one that turns Paul's negative in the New International Version to a positive. Paul says, I am free. I am free. That's how he starts chapter 9. Now, in order to understand this, you have to go back and remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So let me give you a thumbnail sketch. In chapter 8, all 13 verses, the entire chapter, Paul is answering that burning question that you've been working on all your life and have not been able to answer. And the question is it okay for Christians to eat meat offered to idols? Right? You've been struggling with this your whole life. Now, I've been thinking about looking at 1 Corinthians 8 this week and thinking that if we took a poll, Christians might consider this to be the least relevant chapter in the New Testament. Because for us, it's a concern that's long ago disappeared from the rearview mirror. We sometimes don't even understand what's being debated here. But for the Corinthian congregation, cosmopolitan and different, it was a burning question. I think, even though the particular issue has long since disappeared, that Paul lays down a very important principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's what he says. He says, I know you all are dealing with this and it's very difficult. Should we be allowed to eat meat offered to idols? Are we free to do whatever we want? And the Apostle Paul says, don't be silly. No. No, you're not. Well, he doesn't get there right away. First of all, he says, well, you can eat meat offered to idols because you know there's only one true God, right? And those idols just don't exist. So yeah, go ahead, eat away. But if you're downstairs in Fellowship Hall, and you know that some of your fellow believers are a little unsettled about this, they're just not sure that it's right to eat meat offered to idols, then you should take more salad and skip the meat. Because Paul says, in the exercise of your rights as a Christian, you should never weaken the faith of somebody else. This is what Paul says. And this is the principle he posits that I think continues on to this day. So am I free to do whatever I want to do? And the Apostle Paul says no, because you don't think of yourself first, you think of your sister or your brother. 13 verses and that answers it. So if you're at a dinner party sometime in the coming months and the host comes out with a beautiful plate full of filet mignon and says to you, boy, I got a great deal down at Giant Eagle on meat offered to idols. This stuff is great. Here you go. And if you see a brother or sister at the plate and they're kind of wavering, just say, I'll take the vegetarian salad. That's the answer to that. So Paul settled that question, then he moves on. Am I free to do what I want? No, you have to think of your brother or sister first. So here's how he starts verse 1 of chapter 9. I am free. Didn't you just say that we're not free to do what we want? And now you're saying in chapter 9, verse 1, I am free? You say, what's going on with Paul? What's he saying? Maybe Paul was writing 1 Corinthians 8, and it was getting late, near midnight, and maybe Paul just put down his quill and stood up and rubbed his eyes, blew out the candle, and got his pajamas on and went to bed. And then the next morning he woke up, and he had a little grapefruit for breakfast, got dressed, went out for a walk, came back to his desk, picked up the quill, and said, now where was I? Huh. I'm free. Maybe. Not likely. That's not what Paul says. How do you make sense of moving from 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 13 to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1? I'm free. I want to suggest to you that Paul is saying something very basic here. In 8 and 9, he's explaining what it means to be free. He's talking about the basic concept of freedom. We all felt it at the beginning of the message. Now Paul's going to explain it. And Paul's always saying through all of his 13 letters, I'm free, I'm free. Let me give you some examples. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 1 Corinthians 7, 21, you were free when Christ called you. Galatians 2, verse 4, in Christ we have freedom. So Paul is explicit on this. We are free because of Christ. And Paul is fond of saying this time and time again. Romans 1, verse 1, I am a slave to Christ. Galatians 1, verse 10, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave to Christ. Or Philippians 1, verse 1, with Timothy, I am a slave to Christ. Paul's not confused. He's not bifurcated or schizophrenic. The Apostle Paul says he is free. He is free to choose what he will be a slave to. He is free to choose who or what he's going to serve. Does that make sense to you? You're doing better than me if it does. I have to admit. Well, I have to admit that up until I was about 20 years old, when I came across this conundrum, what I thought it was a conundrum, I thought that Paul was using double speak or something here. I didn't quite understand it. But something happened in the summer of 1979, when I was 20 years old, that just made this passage completely clear in my mind. And what happened is Bob Dylan released a new album. Now, hang on with me. Hang on. I never particularly liked Bob Dylan's music. I mean, you either like him or you don't. And for my taste, whenever I heard Bob Dylan, I always thought he sounded like a canary with a sore throat while somebody's running the sweeper. You know, it just, it didn't meet my taste. But everybody was saying in 1979, and some of you may remember this, that Bob Dylan had come out with a new album. And in the album, he had become a Christian. He'd had a born-again experience. And so I was curious as a young person to hear, because the new album was supposedly going to be all about his conversion to Christ. And on that summer when I was making $2.25 an hour minimum wage, I went out and spent $8.99 of my hard-earned money to buy the album, Slow Train Coming. And I went home and played it over and over and over again. I still play it when I'm doing the dishes at night, despite the fact that at times it still sounds like a canary with a sore throat with a sweeper running. But there's a song on that album called Gotta Serve Somebody. Gotta Serve Somebody. And Dylan sings words like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you gotta serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You gotta serve somebody. And it's not profound, but at the age of 20 in the summer of 1979, it struck me right between the eyes. We all serve somebody or something. We all pour out our life's energy. We all invest ourselves in something. And when you look around the world, there are a lot of things that people invest their lives in. The Apostle Paul is arguing here to say, if you want to know at the end of your life what the purpose of your life was, make this decision. You're free to choose. But make this decision to pour out your life's energy for the cause of Christ. You heard what Ed read here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, I am free, but I have made myself a slave unto Christ for others. We're free. We're free to choose. And even not to choose is to choose for every one of us. We'll pour our lives out for something or someone. The question is what? Now, some of you are in the sanctuary this morning are old enough to remember when President John F. Kennedy instituted the Peace Corps. 1961, he introduced the concept of the Peace Corps, and there was an ad that they put out at that time to entice young people to sign up for the Peace Corps. And it's, I think, one of the most brilliant ads I've ever seen. I've seen it on the internet. It's an ad that starts out with an underdeveloped country, a third world country. And there's a young man, and I'm guessing he's in his mid-20s, and he is walking behind a plow that's being pulled by an ox. And as you watch him cultivate this dirt, you hear a voice off the camera said, "Have you recently graduated from college? And are you looking for a job? A job which will take you halfway across the world and have you work in temperatures of 120 degrees and sleep on a dirt floor and find yourself in danger of contracting malaria and work for $1.25 an hour and feel better about yourself than you ever thought possible. If so, apply to the Peace Corps." And some of you are thinking, "Oh, that's not what I'd put on the church brochure." Who would answer an ad like that? And the answer is, to date, about 250,000 people who decided this is what they want to do with their life's energy. People are looking for something, the thing, that will give their life meaning and purpose. So Paul says, "I have become a slave. I've chosen in my freedom to become a slave to Christ." What's interesting is that about 100 years after the Apostle Paul wrote those words, Cicero, a Roman philosopher and statesman, said this: "If a person wants to become free, they must tie themselves to a set of laws." So it's not a distinctly Christian understanding. And I think if Paul had the opportunity to talk with Cicero, they may have huddled together and Paul said, "I completely agree." Well, not completely. He'd say, "If you want to be completely free, make yourself a slave to Christ. Choose to pour yourself out for Jesus." And here is the good news. Every person in this sanctuary and every person who's ever lived, you, me, everyone, is free to choose. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul and all those who traveled with him and all those who touched, who were touched by him. For 20 centuries later, we find ourselves sitting in the pews and we're beneficiaries of his word. Many of us too, Lord, have answered the call to pour out our lives for Christ. So tie us to the Savior. Lead us. We will follow in Christ's name. Amen.